We'll be in Mark chapter 14 today, and actually a previous passage, the one we read in our scripture reading, Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 31 today, and that is page 1012 for the chair Bibles there, if you're using those. Again, if you need a Bible, especially larger print as we age, I find myself in that arena, then feel free to take one of those. We can get plenty more, so if you need a Bible, please do take that. But page 1012 in the chair Bibles in Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. Let's begin our time in prayer. Father, we come to you. Lord, we pray for ourselves that we would be faithful followers. Lord, the hymns we've sung have pointed us in that direction, that we would follow you. But Lord, we know it's not always an easy path. Lord, we know many times we're in our own way. Lord, we pray that you would work through your word today in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we read the passage, I want you to consider maybe this is your experience. In fact, we've just had some kids return from camp. You've gone to camp, a Christian camp, or a revival service, or something else. You've been excited for the Lord. God worked. Your heart moved. You made decisions to change, to follow more closely your Savior. And then life happens. You ever been there? As James says, we get drawn away in our strong desires and enticed, and that happens. Or you come home and things are not as you would desire them, and it changes and breaks your attitude and your heart. And all that progress spiritually seems to have fallen away in an instant. Consider that as we read here about one just like us. Picking up at verse 26 of Mark 14, it says, "When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to him, 'Even though they all fall away, I will not.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he said emphatically, 'If I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And they all said the same thing." This passage really confronts us with whether or not we are faithful followers. Here is Jesus, the last night of his life before the crucifixion. He is about to pray a very great, heavy, deep, painful prayer. And as they leave the joy of the Lord's Supper, to go to the Mount of Olives, to go to the garden, to go even to betrayal, Jesus tells his followers, "You all are going to leave." And Peter, don't we love Peter? We are Peter, if you haven't figured out from the New Testament. Jesus tells them, "What, you're all going to fall away? Not me!" And yet the passage we read for our scripture reading, what happened? Denial, denial, denial. Notice here, as we begin, the reasons we become unfaithful followers. Just like Peter here, they had sung a hymn, they go to the Mount of Olives, verse 27, Jesus says, "You will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." What does it mean when Jesus says, "It is written"? He's quoting the Old Testament. Have you ever tried to stand and deny God's word? How well did that work for you? You see, one of the first reasons for why we become unfaithful followers is just like Peter here, we deny the very word of God. Now, you and I maybe have it a little bit easier than Peter because we read the word of God, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us and convicting us, but imagine standing there and telling God himself, who's quoting his own word, "No, I'm not going to do what it says." And then he becomes unfaithful. For the very reason that he's saying he's not going to do it, he does it. You and I are the same way, aren't we? We ignore the word of God, and then where do we go? I think Isaiah has something to say about this. All we like sheep. What do? Led astray. Everyone to his own way. Just go out here and watch some sheep. We were out driving the other day, and we saw two sheep not in the fence. They were on the road. They had gone astray. We become unfaithful followers even after spiritual highs. I mean, imagine coming the Passover and all the great imagery and the beauty there and seeing it now fulfilled and your Savior sitting there at the table and him saying, "Now's the new covenant." Walking out to the mountain, Jesus saying, "No, you're going to fall away tonight." That spiritual excitement, that moving that happened, that growth that happened, you're going to fall away. Why? Same as Peter here. "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Verse 29, "But Peter said to them, even though they all fall away, I will not." Talk about denial. What do you mean, God, I need to put off and put on? Right? That's for those hedonistic Christians. I'm good, God. I just came from a great spiritual experience. And we deny. And for that reason, we become unfaithful followers by denying God's very word. Just like Peter, it's nothing new. It's happened before. And it's probably happened both to you and I before. Here's Peter. But it's not just a denial of God's word. Notice how he denies it. Verse 29, "Even though they all fall away," famous last words, "I will not. I do it myself." 2-year-old trying to tie their own shoes, and now they're tied together. Here's Peter. "Peter, have you learned nothing? Didn't Jesus have to look at you and say, 'Get behind me, Satan,' after another spiritual mountaintop experience?" Here they're on another mountain. They're going to a garden. He just had the Lord's Supper with the Lord present. His feet have just been washed. He's just said, "No, not thy feet, all of me. I understand I'm unrighteous." But then he fails, just like we do, because of his pridefully standing in his own strength. They all fall away. I won't. So the reason we become unfaithful follower is not just because of our denial of God's word, but because of our prideful standing in our own strength. Have you ever wondered why in the armor of God, so much of is it external? The belt of truth, the preparation of the word, the helmet of salvation, all these things that you need for success in spiritual warfare. Because we so often leave them beside ourselves, right? We forget to take them up. The shield of faith, the righteousness of Christ, the truth of God's word, to bring it and bind it all together. Because we do it ourselves. I'm sure it saddens God, maybe at times look down and see us like spiritual two-year-olds. I know you sent your Holy Spirit to us, God, but I do it myself. Jesus, that couldn't possibly happen, right? Peter says. I won't fall away, even if they, all these other ones, leave you. The reasons we become unfaithful followers is our denial of God's word and our own pride. What happens, though? What is the reality of Peter becoming an unfaithful follower? What is the reality of us becoming unfaithful followers? The reasons are there. We deny. We stand our own pride. But what is the reality? Look at verses 30 and 31. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he, Peter, said more emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And then the bandwagon comes. Then they all said the same. Here is the reality. The reality of being an unfaithful follower, because we stood in our own pride, because we denied the very word of God, is that we often deny Jesus in word and deed. Imagine being Peter, standing there and getting the specifics from Jesus. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me." In a way, I really feel for Peter, because it had to hurt to have Jesus look him in the face and say that. To know that it could possibly be true, and as much bravado as he wants to show, knowing his own weakness. And here is what happens. We read it in our scripture reading. Here comes a little girl. You ever been scared of a little girl? Maybe if you were a little boy once, you were scared of a little girl. But here comes a little servant girl. "Aren't you one of those that follow the Nazarene?" "No, you must be one of those." And then the crowd comes in. "Yeah, you're a Galilean too. You're one of those dirty hill folk." What does Peter do every time? "I don't know him. I know not the man." Even to go and swear a curse upon his own head. Parallel passage says that after the third time, then Jesus turned and Peter saw him. You can almost hear it in Peter's mind, the words playing back from Jesus, "Truly, of truth, I say to you, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." What happens when we've said, "Well, God's word doesn't apply to me in this way. I can do it myself." And then we go and by our actions, by our words, we deny our Savior. Just like Peter. If Peter had listened, maybe he would have understood and he would have only scattered instead of denying. We'll never know, because this is what happened. Here he is. He goes and denies Jesus in his words and in his deeds. If you read further, you understand this broke Peter. Imagine coming from such a great spiritual mountaintop to the lowest valley possible. And the reality is, you and I do the same thing. We hear the word of God, maybe on a Sunday, maybe at a special meeting, maybe at camp, maybe on the radio or the TV or some other way. Maybe even in our own morning or our daily reading and dwelling with God. And then, like Paul says, we forget to look in the mirror and we go out our own way and there's no change. In fact, I would say in Peter's case here, and often our case, there's even a going backwards. The reality of being an unfaithful follower is it means we often deny Jesus in word and deed. And we often, because of that, deny our own faithfulness. Look at verse 31. If I must die with you, I will not deny you. Not me. Growing up, we had not me in our household. There were four of us children. Okay? And usually it wasn't one of us. I don't even know who not me was, even to this day. And my mom or dad would ask, who did this? Not me, not me, not me, not me, right? And so we had not me living in our house that did things, that didn't put things back quite where they were supposed to be, that didn't own up to breaking something or doing something. You ever met not me? Yeah. Here's Peter. Not me! Yeah. I would never. Famous last words, right? You ever read the paper, watch the news or something, you see someone on there and they've done something horrible? You think, oh, I'd never do that. Oh, really? Are you sure about that? The Bible talks about our sinfulness and how great it is and how much it can overtake us willingly. Here's Peter. Not me. I won't deny you. And just to prove his point, he gets even more emphatic than the first time. The reality is that being an unfaithful follower means we deny Jesus in word and deed, and we deny our own unfaithfulness. I would never leave you, God. I would never slip away. I would never. That's Peter right here. The reality is sometimes that's us tomorrow morning or tonight. Oh, God, I would never say that. I would never do that. I'm following you. And then comes life. Then comes the circumstances where we deny, either because we're questioned or we deny because of convenience. We deny because of our own pride. We end up just like Peter. You ever had that? There you are. Then you're here. And you think, God, there's no possible way you could use me ever again. That's Peter. In fact, at one point he says, I'm going to fishing. And this isn't just, you know, what some of us like to do with the rod and the reel. This is going back to his life. Must be nothing left for me to do for God.
I blew it.
I threw the baby, the bathwater, and the whole tree branch, and everything else out. Because we deny our unfaithfulness. Well, it's not possible for me to do that. If all these go away, I won't do it. If I have to die with you, I'll stay with you, Jesus. You even see him after the arrest. He's following along behind. John's even closer than Peter is. Where'd all the bravado go, Peter? Where's your sword now, Peter? Where's your promise to follow now, Peter? Where's ours go? I don't know about you, but mine sometimes is sorely tested just driving. I'll follow you, God, and love my neighbor as myself. Yes, yes, let's do that. What are you doing? This is 70 miles an hour, not 35. Please put the next gear up if you're going to drive a truck with a trailer and a boat and another trailer. You've seen it out here, right? Oh, God, I won't deny you. I won't do that. Famous last words. And it has a way, just as it did Peter, of breaking us. Of making us go, God, is there any possible way that you could ever use me again? Is there any possible way you actually still love me? I'd ask you to go over to John chapter 21. It's page 1078 in the chair Bible. John 21, verse 15, page 1078. Peter's experience that mirrors ours so much leads us to the question of how to return. How to be restored. Notice here, picking up in verse 19 of chapter 21, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Restoration of us, of Peter, of an unfaithful follower is this. After we've been broken by our own sinfulness, our own denial, our own pride and arrogance, our own failure. Here is how an unfaithful follower is restored. First, by returning to the love of Christ. This is the one Jesus saw deny him. Jesus knew. And yet Jesus says, Simon, come here. Do you love me? Jesus has already shown his love, right? I no longer call you servants, but friends. And this is the most loving thing a friend can do, is to lay down their life for their friend. Where's Jesus just been? On a cross, in a tomb, now resurrected. Here comes Peter. He's gone fishing. He's in Galilee now after the resurrection. To where Jesus said to meet him, but he's still been a bit standoffish. Finally, he's restored by returning to the love of Jesus. You notice he asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" Jesus knew. Jesus knew his faults, knew his failure. The implication here is Jesus loves Peter. Peter, do you love me? And confirming to Peter that Peter has loved Jesus the whole time, in spite of his failures. Jesus calls Peter. Talk about restoration for the one who had denied his Lord. Restoration for the one who stood in his own pride and declared his loyalty and then failed. Talk about restoration from a gracious God. Because you and I, after someone denied us and betrayed us, like Peter had, probably would have nothing to do with them. Jesus knows Peter's heart and calls him back to his love. Restoration of the unfaithful followers by returning to the love of Christ. It's also by returning to the call of Christ. Did you notice how Jesus pairs not just "do you love me," but now "feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep." What's Peter doing with sheep? He's a fisherman. Jesus has already intimated to Peter somewhat of his place in the church, how he's going to have somewhat of a founding influence. We see that in Acts, right? Here, Peter, who's never preached a day in his life, preaches one sermon and thousands are saved. In fact, Peter's going to have some care of the churches. He writes 2 letters about that. So Jesus restores Peter by Peter being returned to his call to feed and tend the sheep. To go back to his call, to what God had told him he needed to do. Maybe for you and I, it's not as dramatic as Peter. We weren't going to stand on Pentecost and preach and see thousands saved. But maybe it's a return to the call to be the husband, the father, the wife, the mother, the child, in obedience to God. Maybe to being faithful to the Word of God. Maybe being faithful to the church. And ultimately, if anything, being faithful to being a follower. How is Peter restored? He's restored to the love of Christ and to his call by Christ. Finally, we are restored by returning to following Christ. Would you look down at verse 19 with me? This, Jesus says, to show what kind of death Peter was to glorify God, the verse before it. But then after all this, after saying this, he said to him, Jesus said to Peter, what? Follow me. Isn't that what Jesus said the first time when he met Peter with the nets? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter is now being restored to not only his call, not only the love of Christ, but to following Christ. In fact, Peter is going to die in a very similar way, according to tradition, as Jesus did. He's going to fulfill his promise in Mark 14, but no longer in his own power, but in the power and might of Christ and his Spirit. Talk about restoration. Broken Peter. Failed Peter. Restored Peter. Who goes on to preach, to proclaim the word of God, and to see thousands know his Savior. To go and to be put in prison for his Jesus. Even to walk out of prison. And to preach and to follow. Because in spite of his failure as an unfaithful follower, he's been restored. And the same hope is there for us. In spite of our failings as an unfaithful follower, when we've denied Jesus in our words, in our deeds, in our choices, because we've done it ourselves, we've denied what God's word has said, Jesus still says, come. Come. And follow me. Here is hope for you and for me, the same hope Peter received, the restoration by our Savior. Jesus says, what? Follow me. Question then before us today is, are you and I faithfully following Jesus right now? Maybe we don't even know what that means. Maybe we've not even gotten there yet. But Jesus has been calling. Maybe today is the first day for you to follow and find the first restoration in the forgiveness of your sins. All those failings you've already accumulated, just like the rest of us. But maybe you have. Maybe you've even been following Jesus for a while. But the denials seem to be piling up. Are you, am I, faithfully following Jesus? Or are our lives denying him? I know not the name. And with that, maybe there's some guilt. Maybe there's a great amount of fear that you will never, ever be restored. How could a perfect, loving God love a sinner like me? And yet, to Peter, one of the closest of the disciples of all, he still says what? Come and follow. Are you afraid you can never be restored? The answer is here. There's hope. There's restoration in Jesus. In fact, he tells us that he will in no wise ever cast us out. If we are his, there's no getting rid of us. So come, be restored. Have you returned after your failings? Like Peter, to the open arms of Jesus. Have you come back? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. If you don't know Jesus, and your failings are all there in front of you, this day Jesus says, come. As he does in the book of Matthew, he says, come to me, you who are laboring under those and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If that's you, would you please come talk to one of us? We'd love to share Jesus with you, so you know restoration, so you know peace. But maybe today you followed, but you failed. Would you take a moment right where you are and be restored? Would you come to Jesus, to his open arms, and once again enjoy his love? All he asks is that you follow. He knows you're going to fail. And yet he still says, follow me. Would you just deal with your Savior today? Be restored. Let's pray. Father, I come to you now. I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this passage. Lord, I even thank you for the failings of Peter that so reflect our lives. Lord, especially for the restoration. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you that you, in love, restore. With compassion, call us once again to follow. Lord, mature us by your Holy Spirit and your word that we would no longer deny it. We would no longer stand in our pride. We would no longer deny you and our own unfaithfulness. That we would be worthy of the calling with which you've called us. Lord, that we would be faithful followers of you, even to death. Lord, we ask for ourselves today in Jesus' name. Amen.